Hey there, and welcome back to Refocus, the go-to podcast for realtors in Arkansas. I'm your co-host, Hayden Bishop, and today we've got a great guest on the podcast, mortgage lending supervisor, Olivia Davis. Olivia is passionate about helping people achieve the American dream of homeownership. She works with everyone from first-time home buyers to investors and those seeking vacation homes, with a special fondness for guiding first-time buyers through the process. Olivia has served on the board of directors of the Mortgage Bankers Association of Arkansas and the Arkansas Development Finance Authorities Advisory Council. Recognized as a top mortgage loan officer by Arkansas Life magazine from 2017 to 2021 and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette in 2023, she is also active in the local young professionals groups. Starting her career in the closing department of a title company, Olivia transitioned to a realtor role, serving the board of directors for the Little Rock Realtors Association and chairing their annual vendor event twice. Her journey has led her to the banking side of real estate, where she found her true calling. Now sit back, relax, and listen to Olivia dive deep into the role lenders play in the home buying process. Arvest is an equal housing lender.
Well, Ms. Olivia, thank you so much for being here with us today. We're stoked to have you on, to have your perspective. We're doing a little home buyer series where we walk through every aspect of a home transaction.
Okay.
And we talk to the key person that's on the other side of the realtor. So we wanted to start with you today because you came highly recommended from Little Rock Realtors.
Gosh.
And I'm hearing that you had a little background with them. So talk to me a little bit about your background, how you got into mortgage lending, how that road looked for you.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I actually went to college with and got my degree in broadcast journalism. And so I quickly realized that was not for me. So when I graduated, I kind of went into panic mode of, oh God, I need a job. What do I do? And my mom had grown, I had grown up, my mom was in title forever. She was an abstractor at the time. So she was the one that went to the courthouses and did all the, you know, opening the books and
the dirty work,
sneezing all the dust and all that. And so at the time she worked for a title company and they were hiring a closing assistant. And so I applied for that and worked there for a year. After about that time, I realized sitting at a desk was not for me. but I knew that I wanted to stay in real estate, love real estate in general, love working with people for the most part. but so I ended up getting my real estate license. And at the time I was a caretaker. And so it was kind of a work part-time doing that just to give me, you know, a little bit of flowing income. At the end of that, I needed a little more motivation. I wanted something a little more steady. So after about 2.5 years of part-time real estate, I decided to throw myself into mortgage. So I called my former manager and said, hey, are you guys hiring? I want to be a mortgage lender and I want to do it where I, you know, where I feel comfortable. And he was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And so here I am almost 10 years later, have zero desire to go everywhere. It's funny, people joke, they're like, well, now you have insurance left. I'm like, you could not pay me enough to do insurance. No way.
The trifecta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm good. I've been here almost 10 years and I love doing it. And it's a lot of fun and helping people. It's very rewarding. So.
That's that. Awesome.
So you are a mortgage lending supervisor.
Yes.
A VP, if you will.
Yes. Yes. It holds all the titles.
So can you take me through your role as mortgage lender and how you assist home buyers in the real estate transaction and what's your favorite part of it?
Yeah. So my job as a mortgage lender is to sit down with customers and work with them from start to finish. So we pre-qualify them on the front end by reviewing income, credit, debts, everything like that, figuring out what product works best for them. We issue that pre-qualification and send them out into the wolves, if you will.
Yes.
And then once they are under contract on a home, then we start the process of the loan. So I'm with them from start to finish, from the time they, you know, decide they want to buy a house until they close on that house. My favorite part of that, it comes with a couple different stories, which, you know, I'll keep them brief, but there was one couple who I ran their credit and it was just, I mean, you wouldn't even think it's a real credit score. It was so incredibly low. They had so many issues.
I was hoping it was going to go the other
way. I know.
So high.
You would think that would be the ideal. But no, they had so much debt. They didn't know what to do. And so we kind of put them on the path. And I told them, I said, you know, right now it's not going to work, but we're going to get you there. And we actually just closed on their home a few months ago after 3 years of working with them.
Oh, wow.
So that's one of them. My other one is I had a customer that was in the process of her home being foreclosed on because her servicer had changed hands and she didn't know it. And her previous servicer was keeping the payments. It was a long battle. But her credit was shot because of it. Couldn't do the mortgage in her name. So we flipped it over to her husband's name because luckily he was on title. And we ended up closing this refinance in her husband's name. And when I say that they were going into foreclosure, I mean her entire house was packed up in boxes. She was ready to move, thinking it wasn't possible to stay in her home. And, you know, that was probably four or so years ago. And I still hear from her just thanking me for what she wrote on my little survey was that I was her guardian angel. And so I was just like, it's things like that. It's getting someone from not thinking that this is possible, not thinking it's something they can do, to making it possible and helping them through that. And that's my job is to help them figure out how to get it done. So, you know, it may not be today. It may not be a month from now, a year from now, but finding a way to make it happen is the best part.
Yeah.
So you guys don't really have, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that kind of ties into a lot of podcasts that we've been filming lately is just the relationship aspect of it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always tell people building rapport and relationships with not just referral partners, but customers and, you know, anyone that you come in contact with is how you're going to build your business and your brand. And that's my thing. It's just, I don't like going and sitting down and selling myself. I'm not a salesman. And I guess I am, but you know, that's not how I like to sell. I don't like to say, well, here's what I can offer you. It's, well, let me get to know you and you get to know me and let's be friends on Facebook and let me hear all about you. And then we'll eventually talk business. So.
Oh.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I guess I never knew that lending went that far, mm-hmm. like into the relationship aspect of mm-hmm. it. That is very cool.
Well, I mean, you think about it, you are looking at someone's entire financial portfolio.
It's vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we joke that I'm going to end up asking you for your blood because I need so much information from you. So it's just, it's very personal. It's very, they have to be very vulnerable. And so mm-hmm. It's a lot, but it's how you handle it that means the most.
Yeah. I'd say knowing my brief stint in real estate, knowing how scary the mortgage aspect mm-hmm. is of a real estate transaction, I know that it comes with a lot of misconceptions. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk through some of the most common misconceptions around mortgages themselves, the sure. mortgage process, the application, the underwriting, whatever you think yeah. it is that there's a misconception about. I want to touch on it.
Okay. So the biggest one, and I literally hear this every week, and I just heard it this weekend when I worked at an event, is that you have to have 20% down. No, you don't. 20%, it waives the requirement for private mortgage insurance, or PMI, as you know, a lot of people have heard it. Every product is different, obviously, but that is the one thing that I think a lot of people focus there. I'm just like throwing things around here, y'all. I'm
very violent about mortgages.
I talk with my hands. So 20% is the requirement to avoid that private mortgage insurance. And I think that a lot of people just kind of assume that that is something that has to be done. It's very rare that someone has 20% or even uses 20%. Even someone that's got it saved, that's likely not what they're using their money on. PMI is not a make or break. It's not something that we focus so much time on, that, you know, it's going to qualify someone or not. So we, you know, there are several ways that PMI can be handled, monthly or upfront. And so, just kind of moving away from that theory that 20% is required, it's not. And it's wild to me how I still hear that all the time, because mm-hmm. I just didn't really realize that was something that people still thought they needed. So mm-hmm. Almost 10 years in, and I still hear that at least once a week. And
almost
so
makes you want to wear around a sign. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, a tattoo on my forehead, 20% down is not required. So that's one. That is truly the biggest one that I still see to this day. I have heard a lot recently, this is more recent as rates have come up, that interest rates are, you know, making and breaking deals. And they are, you know, they're higher than they once were. But it does not make buying a home impossible. Rates are, they are higher, like I said, but they're not nearly as high as they have been in mm-hmm. the longer history of interest rates. So we do battle that some. We tell someone what an interest rate looks like, and they're like, I want to wait till 3%. No, that's not going to happen again.
See you in 20 years.
I know, right? I'll be dead by then. and so just having that, sorry, I might be though. But just kind of having that conversation and walking customers through what that rate looks like and, you know, what the payment difference is. And I really hate to show someone what a payment looks like with a rate now versus what it looked like at 3 or 4% like they're hoping for, because that's just not realistic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, showing them the money difference is just kind of a gut punch, if you will. But, you know, people can refinance at any time. So if rates mm-hmm. come down and they're not happy with the rate that they have right now, we can work with them to see what that savings would be. And that's something that we're doing a lot of right now, is looking at money, at monthly savings for mm-hmm. refinancing. So, and then another one, this is one we saw a lot during the pandemic because rates were low, is adjustable rates. ARMs, as you might hear them, there was a big fear at first for customers when it was related to an adjustable rate, because they thought that it was like a balloon. So, you know, an interest rate is fixed for so many years and then it can adjust. And everyone that I talked to in the very beginning just assumed that after that fixed period, the loan came due. And that's simply not mm-hmm. how it is. And so, you know, again, you can refinance on those adjustable rates, but sometimes those are better options for customers. But that was kind of an eye-opener for me, too, was people, because I was not really around during the whole, I mean, I was, but I wasn't in mortgage during the big housing crisis. And so just kind of when I first started to see that and hear that question, I looked back into that and realized, oh, that, you know, that was a big thing. So just explaining how that works to customers so that they don't think that, you know, in 5, 7, however many years that they're going to have to pay $200,000 out of pocket. So
what's a situation that somebody might end up with an ARM?
I've got an two. Adjustable rate. I do too. You know, okay. We are so
and
lucky.
And thanks for being at the podcast.
No, I mean, that's a good question. So there are situations where adjustable rates can be, the interest rate can be a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there are situations where certain pieces of property don't qualify for traditional financing. And mm-hmm. there are adjustable rates that allow financing on those pieces of property. So, and then, you know, some people, if someone comes in and tells me that they're going to be in this home no more than 3 to 5 years, we're going to look at an adjustable rate because yeah. that interest rate is going to be a little bit lower, most likely. Obviously not in every situation, but it might be a little bit lower. And if they're going to move out of that home before it even adjusts, then why would we not look at that? So mm-hmm. there are a lot of different reasons, but some of the biggest ones are their timeline, the requirements for the property, and then, just different situations like that. So,
yeah. Well, with all these misconceptions around it that we want to clear up, what are some other things that you wish people knew?
Mm-hmm. So, I cannot stress enough having a local lender. And I think most realtors will agree with that. But, you know, you have a lot of these online lenders, and they typically will get an application from a customer and just issue that pre-qual. They haven't asked the questions. You know, as a local lender, one of the things that we pride ourselves in is we know the area. We know different local products that might be available. We're going to be able to offer a more personalized service because we can be there with the customer. But also, you know, I feel like a lot of us take more time with that customer to get to know them and their situation. You know, why, what is the price point we're looking at and why? What does that look like for you all inclusive? You know, what is the money that you're going to need? Where's that coming from? How much, you know, just really digging into it and their income and everything, just very detailed. And I think a lot of online lenders are kind of just, you know, shooting out what they can. And so I think it just helps, it helps the customers too, to be able to navigate all the aspects of the mortgage process. So to me, having a local lender is top, is the top thing I can recommend every day, all day.
Having someone that knows you better can help you better.
That's right. And the market. Like I said, you know, we have, there are products that are available to you in certain cities and certain areas, and someone that's in, I don't know, New York or Oregon, or they may not know that. So having that available is a huge help.
So we're going to continue in the vein of all of our misconceptions and misunderstandings, because I think people just don't understand what happens once you get with a mortgage officer and you say, I need, you know, a loan for a house. What, once somebody comes to you and they tell you what they want and you find out what they want, what are your steps?
Like, sure.
What are you going through?
Yeah. So I typically have, I always tell people, I just need 5 or 10 minutes of your time on the front end. I want to know, you know, what you're comfortable paying each month, how much you want to put down, how much you have available to put down, where you want to live, how, what your timeline is. Let's talk about the details of your income, how you're paid. So I typically take that information once I get an application and I work backwards to determine what that is, to see what someone might qualify for based on where they're comfortable. And then from there, what products are going to make the most sense based on the information that you've just told me, you know, how much you have available and where you want to live, you know, is there a down payment assistance, product there that's available to that area? Is there 100% financing available? How's your credit? You know, what does that look like? So really it's getting all of the information possible and then determining what product is best for you and your situation. And then obviously offering them several different products for them to choose from. But, you know, no customer, no product. It's not a one size fits all situation. And I always joke, this is like, I actually said this during the snow day and someone laughed at me, you know, but my philosophy is that every mortgage is like a snowflake. No two are the same. No situation is the same. I mean, you could have the exact same income, assets, everything, but there's going to be one little thing that's different for each one. And so that's kind of what I always tell people, is a mortgage is like a snowflake. So
that's why it's important to have a local lender who can find the difference in those snowflakes.
That's right. That's right. Especially if it's physically snowing outside.
Exactly.
You know, you just go out and you look at them.
So right now in the industry, there's a big emphasis on first-time home buyers. With the recent NAR settlement changes, that was a big focus for NAR and for this association, making sure that first-time home buyers aren't negatively impacted. So what, on your side of things, are some of the biggest challenges you see first-time home buyers face in the process? And what, you know, how could they better prepare themselves in the future?
Sure. So, I mean, bottom line is most first-time home buyers just don't know. They don't understand the process. They don't know what they don't know, right? So if you've never been through it before, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what questions to ask. And so you just kind of go off of what you're told, right? So my aunt said I need an FHA loan, or my dad says, nope, you have to put 20% down. And, you know, I get that a lot. And so my first question always is always, why? And I can't tell you how many first-time homebuyers are like, well, I don't know, that's just what they said. Okay, well, respectfully, I'm sure that that was their situation. But again, going back to the one size fits all, I mean, I would like to consider myself an expert. And so, you know, let's talk about it. Let's figure out if that really is the best for you. 9 times out of 10, it's not. I will tell you that. No, but a lot of it is just, they just don't understand. They don't know what they don't know. And so walking them through that. And again, that goes again back to having a local lender, someone who can work with you on that and look at you face to face and talk through those things with you. But, you know, again, having first-time homebuyers come in, they don't know what's expected of them. So just helping them, holding their hand through that process mm-hmm. and explaining how things work and just being open and honest with them is just something that can help them a lot through the process.
Yeah. So say I've decided that I'm not ready to do it right now, but I think I'm going to want to buy a home in the next year or two. What can I do to prepare my finances for a successful and smooth mortgage process?
I am a huge advocate of talking to a lender when you know that you're going to be ready in the next 6 months to a year. And not everyone would agree with that. But I have a lot in it. A lot of first-time homebuyers do this where, you know, they say, well, I know that when my lease is up or, you know, next summer or whatever it may be, I think I'm going to want to buy. But again, they don't know what they don't know. So how much mm-hmm. do I need? What does my credit look like? And what am I going to qualify for? So if you talk to a lender 6 months to a year in advance and you have an idea of what you want, why not go ahead and talk to someone on the front end so that you can set a plan to be where you want to be? So that mm-hmm. when that year, I mean, you don't want to start a month or 2 months before you're ready to buy and decide I don't have enough saved or I'm not going to qualify for what I want. And then it's just kind of like a depression mm-hmm. sets it, you know? So start early and figure out what it is that you need to do to get to where you want to be so that mm-hmm. when that year comes, you've got the money saved or your credit is built back up. You know, I have people come in that they've had something hit their credit that they didn't know about. And so then they're kind of like, well, I can't buy. What do I do? And being prepared for things like that. If something is there, how do we get it off? How do we fix it? Mm-hmm. So I think preparing, yes, you're going to have a hard credit pull, but it should not hurt your credit. But it's just one of those things to fully prepare yourself ahead of time so that you have a direction and a path to follow to make sure that a year from now you're prepared and where you want to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. Whenever I just bought a car today, actually, and they went and pulled a couple things that I didn't know they were going to pull. And I said, well, where'd that come from? And I would have benefited from talking to somebody ahead mm-hmm. of time to really know where I was going to be at.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's even more so with a car. You said you bought a car, a house, because, you know, we're looking at so much more than just what's on your credit right at this moment. And so, mm-hmm. but even things like, you know, your income. Are you part-time? Are you W-2? Are you mm-hmm. self-employed? Contract? You know, what does that look like? Do you have enough history? Do you need to wait to, you know, so just being able to know that come a year from now, you're ready and that you can pull the trigger is huge. So,
yeah. And when it comes to that preparation, what are some things that I would want to avoid doing financially while I'm looking at this process, getting ready and while I'm actually going through it?
That's a really good question. Before I answer that, though, when I pre-qualify someone, I send out an email with some formal information. And one of those things in there is a top 10 don't list. And so I'll kind of pull from that.
I need that just to guide my life.
I know, right? actually, I had somebody come in recently. I'd gotten him qualified, and he came in, and he goes, oh, you're going to kill me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what did you do? anyway, but the number one thing is quitting a job or changing jobs. That can cause massive headaches. So obviously you have to, but if you're in the middle of working on a mortgage loan, please don't do that until you talk to your lender. you know, the type of income you switch to could disqualify you or, you know, do you need to wait a month or whatever? So just quitting or changing jobs, it can really complicate things. Spending money, in terms of like, you know, opening new credit to buy, we have a lot of people that think I need to go, you know, it's 0% financing. I'm going to go ahead and finance my new appliances or my new furniture. Don't do that, please. it can impact, you know, your debt to income ratios. We have to look at what that new payment's going to be and we have to include that. So if you're tight on any ratios, that can disqualify you. Don't go buy a car in the middle of the process.
No home for you.
No, that's right. No home for you. Same thing for paying things off. If you're going to pay things off, talk to your lender first, because sometimes paying things off and closing things out can drop your credit. But it can also just, you know, we have to document all that. And so it might make more sense to wait until after. So anything you do, just talk to your lender first. Whether, you know, it's something that you absolutely have to do or something that you're considering doing, just ask them first, just, you know, to make sure that it's not going to mess anything up. Most of the time it isn't a huge deal, but just, you know, making sure you know that before you do it is the best piece of advice I can give.
So as they're making all these good financial decisions leading into, what are some other things that you'd tell a new home buyer to ensure a smoother process on the mortgage side?
Another one is we are going to ask for your life on the front end. We have to have all your financial information, your assets, your income. If you have other houses, we have to have documentation on that. If you know, if there's a divorce, we have to have a divorce decree, which could lead to more. So, I mean, it could be a domino effect. We could get one thing that requires another thing that requires another thing. So just being patient with us, knowing that when we ask for something, we do need it. And there needs to be a sense of urgency on that. And I think, in my opinion, that a good lender will give you a deadline. They'll tell you, I need this by X date or whatever. And if they give you a deadline, please follow it. It's mm-hmm. just, there's a reason, you know, we're not just doing it for fun. There's a reason we give timelines, because we also have to follow our own timelines. So just placing a sense of urgency on everything and just being patient throughout the process.
Yeah. So, you know, we are the Realtors Association, mm-hmm. so we are very focused on our realtor members. And one of the things we wanted to sit down and have these conversations for is to see how our realtor members could be better partners in a real estate transaction. So what advice would you give to a realtor who's looking to better serve their clients from a financial perspective?
So making sure your buyers are truly pre-qualified is very important.
Yes.
And by that, I mean seeing that letter, you know, maybe pick up the phone and call that lender. Say, hey, just tell me about this customer. But I love you guys, and my realtors know I love them, but really, you know, focusing, I don't want to say stay in your lane. That sounds really terrible, but like as a lender, I'm not going to tell someone to go do this, that, or the other when it comes to the real estate side. Leave that to the expert, right? So I have a lot of people come tell me that their realtor told them they need XYZ product, and you know, guidelines change so frequently, mm-hmm. and we have to keep up to date with those things. And so some people may not qualify for certain things, or certain products don't work for customers. So just knowing that the lender is there doing their part, just helping them through that process, you know, mm-hmm. telling your customer, hey, talk to your lender. Mm-hmm. If there is a situation where, you know, repair credits come up or anything like that, talk to the lender first, just to make sure, because I do see some come in sometimes where we've added a seller credit and that it's over the limit or whatever that may be. So just having, you know, details confirmed with the lender, advising the customer to talk to their lender when it comes to the lending side of it. And, but again, it goes both ways. So, you know, if they have a problem in the same situation, I would hope that a lender would say, talk to your realtor. Mm-hmm. Same thing. But, you know, the biggest way to make this partnership and relationship between realtors and lenders and any affiliates strong is communication and expectation, setting expectations. You know, I'm a big advocate of setting expectations. And if I tell you that I'm going to reach out to you once a week to give you an update, I better reach out to you once a week mm-hmm. and give you an update. Mm-hmm. So, you know, setting an expectation that you can truly live up to, and then keeping that communication open and just, you know, having everyone involved in the process and knowing where everything is. And I think that that's going to make or break a relationship. So that's, to me, that those are the two biggest things to make yeah. it strong.
And those are two big things.
They are. They mm-hmm. are.
You said that very nicely, and you may not be able to say it, but I can say it. Y'all stay in your lane out there. Yeah. All right. Don't practice outside the scope of your expertise.
Well, we're all an expert in our own field for the same thing. You know, I'm not going to go to an orthopedic surgeon to ask about, I don't know, repairing my eyeball. Like, it's just you go to the expert for their advice, and it's the same in any industry you're in. And, you know, again, I don't want to be mean about that, but
they have a code of ethics that requires them not to do that. I know, so they should very much pay attention, but
yeah. But yeah, I mean, we just all need to focus on what we're an expert in and leave the rest to the other true experts. Yeah,
and communicate.
Sending your client to the expert better serves the client. I mean, if you know that there's somebody in your network who's better equipped to advise, then it's in the best interest of your client to send them to somebody else.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Olivia.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we haven't covered today that you wanted to put out there into the world?
You know, I appreciate y'all having me here.
We appreciate you showing
of
up.
Of course.
You know, I almost did. No. it's just, I think this kind of thing is great because it just allows for open communicate, right?
Yeah.
But you know, the more you know, right?
I learned a lot today.
Like, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. Ask all the questions. If you guys have questions, call me. If you have questions for a lender that's not on a transaction, call me. I'm happy to help. But I think it's the same for anything, really. Just keeping that line of communication open and being able to ask questions and not be worried about the answer you're going to get. Just, you know, if you're concerned about something, ask. You never know until you ask. But again, I appreciate y'all having me here today. And I do have to add that, you know, everything I said today is of my opinion. None of this is of the opinion or the views of Arvest Bank. So I just appreciate y'all having me here and letting me talk about my thoughts.
Absolutely. So, we're glad you're here. Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate your input. We appreciate you making time to come all the way over here and chat with us about it. And we look forward to having you back someday to continue the conversation.
Awesome.
And we'll catch you next time on Refocused.